turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 is where we're at this morning. Paul had only spent a relatively short time with the believers there in Thessalonica. And then because of a ruckus that had occurred, he had moved on. But he'd been worried about them, concerned about them. Well, Timothy had gone to visit them and then come back to Paul with a good report of how they were doing there in Thessalonica. Paul writes this letter back to them. And in chapter 2, Paul shares about his conduct and his love towards the young church, the young believers there in Thessalonica. And as he shares about his conduct and all with them, he reaches out to take a couple of examples from life, if you will. He uses some examples that, in particular, one of them is going to be our starting point for this morning. We're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let's begin in verse 7, where Paul says, "But we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. So affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become dear to us." As Paul is speaking to them of his care and his love for them, he reaches out for an example. And Paul chooses an example here of how he cherishes and loves them. He chooses the example of a nursing mother. He wants to draw a picture of his love for them, and so he goes to the role of the mother. That idea of a nursing mother, how she holds the child close and all, how she imparts her very life and all. And so he uses that example. And it's, you know, it's one we all understand. Thank God for all of you moms. But now as he presses on, he also wants to point out, speak of, the role he'd had amongst them of teaching them and exhorting them and comforting them. And in doing that, he goes to the other half of the parental role, starting in verse 9. "For you remember, brethren, our labor and toil, for laboring night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. We preach to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behaved ourselves among you who believe. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father does his own children, that you would walk worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory." Paul was both mother and father to them, spiritual mother and father to them. Pointed out he loved them as a nursing mother loves her child. But now, as he seeks to speak though of also how he taught and exhorted and comforted and counseled them, he now speaks of, as it says in verse 11, "As you know how he exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father does his own children." On this day, set aside to honor dads, I'm led to take some time and do that which I don't typically do, and that is do a topical study of sorts. And in particular, I don't know that I've ever done a Father's Day message per se, but I'm led to do that this morning. Dads, you have been called to one of the most awesome callings there is. And I pray this time would be an encouragement, though for some perhaps it'll be a challenge, and others maybe a time to do some evaluating. But for all dads, I pray it'll be a time that encourages us to answer God's call in an ever-growing, God-honoring way. I've called our time together this morning as a father. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, the love you've poured out upon us, the blessings all around us, as we gather, Lord, in your love, as you extend the opportunity to be forgiven, have eternal life, know your plans and purposes, we see that loving Father heart that you have, and we give you thanks. And Lord, in particular, as we come to this time now of considering the roles, in particular, this role of a dad that you've called many of the guys to, Lord, just help us. Lord, even in that, there's examples for all of us here, but in particular, you're zeroing in. You're zeroing in on the dads. Lord, help us. Help us to gain from. Help us to grow in. Help us to just go out here and be doers of that which we're about to study and consider. And Lord, in the end, we give you thanks and may it all give you glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I mentioned, Paul in these verses uses the example of a father as to how he had been with the believers there at Thessalonica. He uses parenting, and in particular fathering, as an example of how he'd been. But I want us to reverse the example this morning. What I mean is, I want to see what we can learn about fathering from the way Paul was amongst them. And I believe there's much here. Look at verse 9 with me. He says, "For you remember, brethren, our labor and toil, for laboring night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you." Paul labored among them. And that labor took many forms. But one of those was the fact, and commentaries often talk about this, that Paul made it a point to not be a burden to those who he's responsible for. But he went out and worked. He was a tent maker by profession. Now it's true, sometimes there were those who supported him. The Philippians church sent an offering to help him out. But in general, Paul made a point to work, to labor, so that no one could ever accuse him of using ministry for gain. He would make a point to work, labor, to toil, as he says, to toil and provide for an income here. Well, what do we learn there in terms of fathering? A father, in the same way, his calling is to work and to provide for his family. I understand there could be times of illness or injury or unemployment for causes beyond our control. But even those should be approached prayerfully and with a desire to be able to get back to that which God has called us to do in terms of earning an income. You see, it's not an idle warning when Paul tells Timothy here in 1 Timothy 5:8, "But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." Strong language, yes, but I'm not here to water it down. Dads, you're called to be the provider for your home, to do what it takes. Now, of course, I mean that in an honest fashion, but to get out there and to provide for your home. Now, I'm much blessed because I watch and I see many of you guys have been, and you are doing that. You work hard to provide for your homes. Thank God for you. Do not take that lightly. You see, there is no demeaning work when it's done, when it's honest work and done in response to God's calling upon you as a provider. And I see many of you working hard at various things, and you're going out there doing all you can to make ends meet. And the kids see you also. And they set, and you're setting that example. And sometimes we wish, oh, if I had that job or I was doing this or something. But you know what? What the kids see is a dad doing his best to provide. Now, for some of you on the flip side, maybe you need to clock out a little more often and get home. Some of you might put in too many hours. But in general, you need to be providing. And that's my concern. It feels good, doesn't it? It feels good to be able to provide for your family, guys. Those periods of unemployment, they happen sometimes, but there's something about it that rubs us wrong. We want to get out there. That's good. That's God-given. And make sure you react to it and get out there and do all you can to provide. So for those that maybe you need to pick it up in that area, do so. Dad, be a provider. For those of you are, thank God for you. The kids are watching. How often? Think of it yourself in your own life. Maybe your dad or other dads you've seen of what a hard workers they were. And that set an example for you. So many times we hear men point to that, how my dad worked hard for our family. But not only is there to be that physical labor part of it, but in the verse he says, why did he do all that? He didn't want to be a burden to them. He didn't want something to get in the way of what he was doing. Because his main thing was what? We preach to you the gospel of God. So dads, you're not only responsible for the providing for your home in that way, in terms of the financial needs and all, but dads, there's even a greater calling. You're responsible for the spiritual well-being of your home. Yes, moms, you have your place And it's an awesome calling and place. Again, thank God for you moms. But this morning we're focusing on dads on this day. Dads, you have a calling and responsibility to be involved in the spiritual direction and growth and health and all of your children. He says it here. He says what? We preach to you the gospel of God. Now, church, children's ministry, vacation Bible school, they all have their part, of course. And you need to encourage the kids to be a part of that. But you can't pass the buck to them in terms of your calling, dads. Well, I'm not a very good teacher. I'm just not into that and all. You know what? The kids don't need you to have a theological degree. They need you just to sit down with them and, you know, read a Bible story with them. Talk about its applications in life. As you go through life itself, take some time to redeem opportunities, dads, to talk about maybe a character on television, how he got in the problem that he did by not following what God would have, or maybe an example of an honest person, somebody with character, pointing them out, or just the different things that life provides for us. You can take some time out of nature and talk about God and his creative processes, and on it goes. It doesn't have to be big and fancy. A lot of times our attempts to do that, the kids just shut down, don't they? They get the roll in their eyes and going, oh man, Dad, you've been a half an hour at this thing. But you got to aim it at their age and all. But most importantly, just redeem those opportunities. And so that's the calling here. And that's what Paul did. And that's what dads need to do. But what else? Verse 10. What else does he point to here as an example that he did as a father does for children? Verse 10 says, you are witnesses and God also. So he's able now to call to them, to the Thessalonians, and to God for something. You are witnesses in God also how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behaved ourselves among you who believe. What's he talking about? He's able to say, and he's pointing out to the importance of being an example. He goes, you guys know, I call you as witnesses. I call God as a witness. How I was among you. He's stressing the importance of example. Dads, our actions speak louder than our words. They just do. And when words and actions are in conflict, so many times people, in particular children, are going to opt for believing the action. Kids can sniff out hypocrisy in a moment, can't they? They'll often tell you about it. Well, it should be a warning sign to us. What's the call here? To be an example of integrity. Honesty, Christ-likeness in your dealings. I got a question for you here. See, the Thessalonians would have said, Paul is the guy who, when he was amongst us, he was devout and just and blameless. He's a man of honesty and integrity, they would have said. That's how they would have finished the question, Paul is the guy who. Well, here's the question. How would our children fill in that blank? Dad is a guy who... And what would they put in there, dads? Well, how do the children really see us? Not what we say, but what are we really about? What do we like? Do they see us practicing what we preach, dads? Do they... When we come in the front door, do they run to greet us or do they run out the back door? Oh, dad's home. I'm out of here. You know, because of our anger or something. Learn to be. Seek that Christ-likeness. Be a spirit-filled dad. Children need to see honesty and integrity. And what else? Verse 11. What else does he point to that he says that he did as a father does? He says, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his own children. He exhorted them, he comforted them, he charged them, as a father does his own children. Again, Paul is assuming that this would be going on in their homes, or else his example breaks down. Does it go on in our homes? That's the challenge this morning. Do these things go on? Well, what does what go on? Well, look what he says here. First of all, although I'm going to the end of the middle of the verse first, he says what? That he did this with every one of you. What's that mean? It means that fathering is to be personal. Again, you can't just say, well, I bring home the bacon and wife, you do the personal stuff. You do the spiritual stuff and the caring and all that kind of thing. Again, mom, you're crucial in this. You have your part, of course. But dads, you can't just say, well, that's their part. This speaks about a relationship with each one of your children, a personal relationship. There has to be one-on-one time. But what did that time make up for him? He said, you know how we exhorted. The word exhorted here is a translation of a Greek word, parakaleo. For some of you who studied your word for a while, you recognize that word, or at least a derivation of it. The Holy Spirit is called what? The paraclete. Why? Because that word, the word paraclete and parakaleo, if they're all related there, means just this. It means to call near, to invite, to invoke by imploration, meaning to implore, exhortation or consolation. It is to come alongside and encourage and help. That's what Paul did with them. He came along beside them to encourage the believers there and to help them. And he's saying, I did that just as a father does with his children. Again, it comes back to us, dads, do we? We're called to come along beside our children. In what way? To comfort, to encourage, to help is the idea here. And that's what he says next. We exhorted, we came along beside and helped, and comforted. Now, the translation, that's the translation of a word, a Greek word that's really synonymous almost with parakaleo, but it has the added meaning to console, to console. And so, the idea is it's to invite, to call near, to come alongside, to encourage and help, and to console. Dads were there to console also. When they strike out three times and they're bummed out, we're not there to get on their case and tell them how bad they are and why they just quit. No, we're there to console. In all the things that you go through growing up, remember the fears and the concerns and the comparisons you get into as a kid? We're there to console them, meaning to let them know the normalcy of it. And come on, you'll have a better day. Come on, let's go and work on your swing then. But you're doing great. Hang in there. All those things that we're to do. So we're to encourage, to help, to console. And lastly, he says, and charged. What does that mean? That's the translation of a word that means to witness, to testify. It carries the idea of giving personal witness. So we're there to come along beside, to encourage, to help, to console, and we're there to give a personal witness to them. You can't lead somewhere where you're not already going. Too many dads kind of do that. Well, go for it. You need to know more about God. You should go walk with them. Lead them in this whole thing is the idea. Well, what else can we add to this understanding of a dad's calling? Well, to go a little deeper with this fathering thing, we need to, of course, add the verse that's probably one of the main scripture verses about this. Ephesians 6:4. Let's add this to the mix. Where God, through Paul, says, and you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. So here's a call. First of all, there's a do not. Dads, do not provoke. Now, what are some ways that dads can provoke their children? Well, just a few of them. It's not an exhaustive list by far. May the Lord speak to us if anything needs to be applied. But things such as placing unreasonable demands on our children. Take some time to find out what's age appropriate for your children. Don't be placing unreasonable demands upon them, comparisons they can't live up to. That's the second thing really here that you can provoke them with, but it's similar, and that is unrealistic expectations. These unreasonable demands, unrealistic expectations will do nothing but provoke them to wrath. Constant teasing is a way to provoke your children. Now, we all like to tease and have some fun and joke around. There's a place for that. But I've seen it. It can go on, just be merciless sometimes, the way people tease their children and harangue them and on and compare them unfavorably. Constant teasing and comparisons will provoke your child, not help them. Not listening to your child. not taking time for your child is a way to provoke them. See, all these things, and others, of course, that's not exhaustive, but all these things, they have the result. Well, there's a parallel passage. Paul writes about the same thing over in Colossians 3. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. So the others said, don't provoke them to wrath. Here we have a little bit of an explanation or definition for that. Lest they become discouraged. It will discourage them. If you're always doing those things of being unrealistic and demanding and all. Instead, dads, we are, I'm putting back the Ephesians passage, we are to what? Bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Your New American Standard Bible translates training and admonition as discipline and instruction. And it's a good translation. The word for training here, the calling that us dads have. The word for training means tutorage, so it's to tutor. Education or training implies disciplinary correction. The word for admonition means a calling attention to, a mild rebuke or warning. So discipline and instruction are good translations. We're to bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. Children don't need you, Dad, to be their best friend. Now, to be a friend with your child is great. To be their buddy or whatever, for you with your son or daughter, great. But what I mean is don't stop there. Too many dads, they think that's all, I'm going to be his friend. But don't stop at being a friend and best buddy at the expense of being their dad. They will have other friends, but they only have one dad. And they need you to do these other things we talked about. And they need you to instruct and to discipline them. How do you react when you hear that word, discipline? Perhaps sometimes in upbringings where there was abuse, we counterreact. Or we think that's somehow discipline. I ain't going there. Of course, there are wrong ways where people discipline. But don't throw the baby out of the bathwater. You are called to discipline in proper ways. Discipline indeed is crucial, dads. It is not unloving to discipline your children in proper ways. Indeed, would you do us all, society, a favor and make sure that you discipline your children and teach them boundaries and all? A wild little one. Well, it's not a pretty sight as a teenager. Discipline shows you belong to someone. Paul said that over in Hebrews. Paul was talking about how we go through discipline from the Lord, but he uses example. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. He's saying discipline shows you belong to someone, that they care enough about you to put a boundary, a limit, to teach you that you are, yes, you are an important part of this universe, but you're not the center of it. You've got to teach the children that. Oh, yes, you have your place, but you aren't. You know, what's the old saying? There's two things I know for sure. There is a God, and you're not Him. You know, teaching our kids, yes, you're important, but there are rules. And it's good, it's healthy. Now, we're not talking about meanness and roughness and abuse. Of course, that's not proper. Not punishing in mean ways or something. But healthy boundary setting and limits and rules and discipline are good. Do not see it, Dad, as unloving. It shows you are loving. It shows they belong to someone who cares about them. Make sure, Dads, that you see that. My education, my graduate degree was in marriage and family and child counseling. I've been involved with a certain amount of families, both as a pastor and as a counselor and all. And yes, there's many healthy, good things going on. But I also see, unfortunately, today, a lack of discipline in so many Christian homes. Again, I don't know if it's a reaction to what people have seen out there. the abuse and meanness that goes on. And so people say, well, I'm staying away from it entirely. They're almost afraid of going near that. Now, it's true. Too many dads think that's what discipline is. They let the anger store up, or they get impatient. Off they go, and they're, you know, in their anger and abusing it all. Of course, that's not what God would have. But you could stay away short of that if you just had some clear guidelines along the way and enforced them in a loving but consistent way. Yes, be fair, but be consistent. Kids need consistent, fair guidelines, strong boundaries. They just do. And dads, that's your part. You can't say, oh, wife, you deal with it. That's our part, guys. And notice, it's the training and admonition, what? Of the Lord. It's not what we think is best. It's not what we saw on some sitcom. It's not what the world says to do. It's not even maybe what happened in your home if it was of the negative type. But see, good thing is, we don't have to look to any of those, do we? We have God. We have His Word. We have His presence, His empowerment to guide us in this whole thing. Yes, it's on the job training. But if we will seek Him, He'll show you how to do this, because we must do it. Christian fathering has to be centered on God and a relationship with God. It's God, our Heavenly Father, who is our example. His Word is our guide. Isn't it an awesome thing that we have Him to look to in that way? They come to Jesus. Jesus, teach us to pray. So Jesus says, okay, here's how you're going to pray. You need to begin by recognizing who you're talking to. And so I want you to pray like this: Our Father who art in heaven. Now think about that right there. We're so used to it. But the Son, God the Son, speaking about how we can address God the Father as just that, a Father. What if Jesus said, okay, here's how you're going to pray, guys. Dear God, who is so distant yet so very mean, I'm afraid to come because I know you're going to bash me. No. Because God isn't like that. He doesn't want us to think that way. He gives us Him as a Heavenly Father. So whatever you've experienced, you can look to the Heavenly Father. More on that in a second. As I was considering our time together, there's so many Bible examples of fathers in different situations and all, but I was particularly drawn to something Joshua said. Joshua was God's man to follow in the footsteps of Moses. Now think about that assignment. No easy assignment. You think of being a dad might be a hard assignment. This parallels. Joshua went on to lead the people of God into the land that God had promised them. You can read about that in Joshua. And there were many adventures. And Joshua learned a whole lot along the way. Well, towards the end of the book of Joshua, as they come down to the end of Joshua's life, Joshua wants to share something with the people. So he gathers the people together. Let's hear what he says. Go to your sixth book of your Bible. Go back to the Old Testament, the book of Joshua, go to the end of it, chapter 24. It's the sixth book of your Bible there. Go ahead and turn there. You'll need to see it. Joshua, chapter 24. As you're turning there again, it's the end of Joshua's life. He's learned much along the way. He wants to share something with them, something that will last, something that will do them well in their life's journey. So he gathered them together, and what did he tell them? Well, basically, he says to them, you've got some choices to make. And God would say the same to all of us today. In particular, we're addressing dads. You've got some choices to make. Joshua 24, go to verse 14. Joshua sharing his heart, and he says, now therefore, fear the Lord, serve Him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He says, you guys got a choice to make. Influences all around us. Go here, do this, do it like that, parent like this. What will you choose? God gives you the choice. He wants you to choose Him. He's not advocating the other ways, but He's saying it's up to you. See, there are two words I'm drawn to in this text. They're obvious. They stick right out. But the first word is just that. It's the word choose. Choose this day. Now, the word choose implies the ball's in our court. Well, He calls us to choose Him, but the ball's in our court. And it also implies that there'll be at least two things to choose from. There will be competing options, dads, as to how you should be as a dad. So the call, choose this day whom you will serve. Now again, he's not saying God would bless the other ways, but you need to choose. And by God here, of course, he means the gods. He says the gods of that world, the gods of the culture around them. You understand that. That which this world lives for and is all about. He goes, you can choose that way. Now, it's not what God wants, but you can choose it. But the thing here is, this thing's got to be in sincerity and in truth. Don't be a hypocrite. Make up your mind. What are you going to be about? So in one sense, he's saying this needs to be a settled issue. Not that you're going to be perfect at it, but you'll settle the issue. Me and my home, we're going to be about the Lord. He will be the one we look to. His word will govern our footsteps. You've got to make that choice. But in another sense, we recognize that that settling of the issue, that choosing this day, is actually going to lead us to choices every day. Choices every day in the countless things that we do. You're going to serve somebody or something. You're going to live for something or somebody. The kids are watching. We're going to choose to father the Lord's way, or we're going to choose to father some other way. But we will and we do choose to serve something. Your family is about something. And again, our children watch our choices. But now there's a second word here. And again, it's obvious, but it drew my attention as I was looking this over. And it's the word serve. Serve or served, whatever variation of it, appears in these two verses 7 times. It's important, isn't it? Now, to serve is an action word. It's not just to say it, it's to do it. But as for me and my house, we will intend to know. We will think about it. We will serve the Lord. It's a do word. It's a doing word is the idea. What does serve mean to you, Dad? Lip service? Or do you really serve? Do you really seek His way as a dad? What do you do to serve the Lord that your children would watch you do? As you make decisions, set priorities, all those things. It says here, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Dads, in what way does your family serve the Lord? In a way that can be identified as serving the Lord. If you're doing it, great. If not, God's call. Get it going. You'll never regret doing it. Well, here in Joshua, the people go on to say, oh yeah, Joshua, right on. We agree. We will choose to serve the Lord. You can read about that another point if you choose to. But go down to verse 22 as Joshua now responds to them after they say, no, we're going to do it. We're going to serve the Lord. Verse 22, so Joshua said to the people, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord for yourselves to serve Him. And they said, we are witnesses. Verse 23, now therefore, he said, put away the foreign gods which are among you and incline your heart to the Lord God of Israel. Two parts called for. First of all, if you're going to serve the Lord, put away the foreign gods which are among you. The gods of this world, the gods of materialism, this drive for pleasure. Is there a place for fun and hobbies and all? Yes, but they can't be the priority, that which really drives you. And the kids are watching. They see it. We buy into thinking that, oh, we're going to provide for our kids. They'll have it better than us. And we'll get them all these things and toys and all. But we don't understand what we're teaching them in terms of what priorities should be and why, what to live for. And too often we ourselves have bought into those gods of this world. Don't do it. He says, put away the foreign gods which are among you. Dad, is there a foreign god among you? Is there something that God's seeing right now you need to put away? Good news. God allows U-turns. But not only do we put away that, but what? And incline your heart to the Lord God of Israel. See, it starts with a committed heart, Dad. Of course you're not perfect. Of course you haven't arrived yet. But your heart. If you love the Lord, it'll come out. And those around you, the kids and all, they'll know. They'll see you seeking Him and being excited about Him and talking about Him and His Word and all. They'll see. So it's a two-part thing. Put away that other stuff and incline your heart to the Lord God. Would you want to know how to be a father as God calls us to be? Then just consider what kind of father our Heavenly Father is. Let His nature be your nature. Some of us maybe didn't have the greatest examples. And some of you are sitting there saying, I wish I'd had a dad like that, whatever. Well, you have a Heavenly Father like it. If you had a great example, great. But if not, you don't have to be tied up by that. You can look to your Heavenly Father. Dad, learn from the father heart of our Heavenly Father. What kind of example is there in our Heavenly Father? God is the Father who keeps the light on for prodigals. I'm speaking to you who have teenagers. We can have prodigal kids. Story of the prodigal son is there for a reason, for a couple of reasons. But one is, remember, he kept the door open and the light on and his arms open. Dad, you do likewise. God is the Father who takes time to listen to us, doesn't He? Dads, do likewise. God is a Heavenly Father who doesn't expect perfection. Again, He knows we're a work in process. But are we growing in it? Do we hunger for it? Do we seek Him? Let the same be in us towards our kids. What kind of Father do we have in our Heavenly Father's example? He's a God who loves us. He's a God who protects us. Again, Dad, that's your model. God, the Heavenly Father, lets us know that we matter. For God has told us. He said, I know the plans, the thoughts I have towards you, the plans I have towards you, thoughts of peace. God has good plans, a perfect plan for us. He lets us know that we matter to Him. We're not here by random. It's so important these children know today that they're here, that God loves them, and they're not here just... See, the world's bombarding them with that. They're here by some product of evolution, and you better enjoy it here because you're just going back to the dirt. And, you know, on and on they're bombarded with. Don't let them just grow up thinking that. But let them know that God loves them and that they're special. And He has a plan for them. Just as you matter to God, do your children know that they matter to you? Make sure they do. Well, the Bible's full of examples of our Heavenly Father. The point is, pass on, dads. Just pass on what you have found in Him. Dads, you're important. Crucial in this whole thing. I recognize that in some homes, some families, things aren't the way they could be in that way. Look to your Heavenly Father to fill that void. But dads, you are crucial. You're crucial at home. You are loved by God. And you're called by God to pass on His ways to those kids. There's a lot of pressure on you, dads. That's not a newsflash. Prices going up, bills, so many things can happen out there. But the call is, don't get discouraged. God is faithful. He knows. If we'll look to Him, He'll lead us. He'll guide us in this. Remember, though, fathering begins with your relationship with your Heavenly Father. Nurture that. Tend to the vertical and then pass it on the horizontal, in particular, to your family. And all of us, just remember this. I want to just close with this scripture. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Remember that, dads. He didn't call you to this fathering thing and go, well, hope you make it. You're a dad now. Hope you survive. Oh, by the way, I'm going to totally hold you accountable for it, but I'm giving you no power, no wisdom, no instruction, no way to go on this. Just, you better do it right. No. He says, let me work in you and through you. Let me guide you and teach you. Just keep seeking me. Just choose this day. Serve me. Serve me, he's saying. It's on my heart to pray for you, dads. So I'm going to ask, if you're a father, a dad, I'm going to ask you to stand right now. Dads, I invite you to stand. I simply want to say a word of prayer for you in this calling that God has placed on you. Let's pray. Father, and how we thank you that we can call you and we can know you as our Heavenly Father. It is my privilege now, Father, to lift up each of these fathers to you. Lord, if there's something that struck a chord today, something they need to turn from or make a change, Lord, when you call, you empower. So help them do just that. Help them to settle this issue of choosing who they and their family will be about. Lord, if some are going through a rough time in terms of employment or anything like that, Lord, we pray for provision, care, and your leading in those areas. Indeed, Lord, there can be so many things, so many pressures on these dads. Lord, I lift them to you and pray for your equipping and your empowering. And in particular, Father, I just want to thank you for them and pray that they will truly sense your presence with them, that they'll be dads who are ever growing as they walk out this special calling, that they'll be dads who will be men of integrity and honesty and be examples to the kids, Lord. Help them know how to discipline in a proper way, in healthy ways, but in the ways you would call them, setting boundaries and all. Lord, just lead them in each part of this. I pray for the dads. Encourage their hearts, Lord. Help them just to see this awesome privilege, Lord, that you've given them now. And so, Father, thank you for each one. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's all stand. As we wrap up our time today,